Ahoy and Happy New Year, everyone. We know the big news is coming later in the show as we talk to the development team about the 2024 annual update, but here's what's been going on at Privateer Press over the past few weeks. We wrapped up with our traditional end-of-the-year review and a look ahead at what's to come. If you're interested in where we're headed for Monsterpocalypse, Warcaster, the IKRPG, or Riot Quest, or you want to check out the updated War Machine roadmap, head over to the news section on privateerpress.com. Events for Adepticon went live on Saturday and have been filling up pretty quickly. There are still a few spots left for this year's first legendary event, at the time of this recording, of course, as well as seats in our Monsterpocalypse and Warcaster events. There is also space in the War Machine ATC and Team Tourney events. And Blightergast will be back, making an encore appearance as well, with a few spots left in his reprisal of Dragonfall. So check it out soon if you're headed to Adepticon in March. And last, the War Machine Legacy Miniature Sale will continue while supplies last, but inventory is disappearing quickly. So if there's something in the back catalog you've been holding out for, get it before it's gone. Now, let's find out what's in store for 2024. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Primecast. I'm your host, Emmanuel Class, and joining me today is Lauren.
Hello.
Eric.
Hey, Privateers.
And Jason.
Hey.
From the dev team to talk about the 2024 update. The January update has been much anticipated, debated, talked about, speculated, and now we're going to spill the beans a little bit. We can't go into extreme detail on all of these because it would take, well, as we talked about in the behind-the-scenes area, 70-plus hours to go through. But with the short and sweet, I think we should start with Circle.
Well, alphabetically, that makes sense. As I go over these changes, I'm not going to mention the things we've mentioned previously or minor point adjustments or rules clarifications. I'll just put a spotlight on some of the bigger changes we made for that might impact how the army plays or opens up options for it.
Mm-hmm.
Starting with Circle, and we'll look at Devourer's Host first, we have the Tharn Blood Shaman. The Blood Ritual now can grant D3 corpse tokens or Divine Inspiration, not just Divine Inspiration. Main reason behind this is to open up some of the corpse mechanics that were missing from the army in its current iteration, and just give their units and models more options against armies that don't have readily available corpse tokens.
No awesome. Feast or famine, it's always feast.
It's always the Devourer's Feast. And I really like that. I like token mechanics having an engine. I think it makes them, you know, kind of lubricates the gears, so to speak. So this is definitely something I would play.
Another big one that will jump out at people is the Tharn Ravager Shaman. We're replacing Shepherd's Call, which due to the play style of the army was rather hard to use effectively, with Sky Shaker, which grants Warping Winds. Now, that gives some significant range protection and ability to climb up the board that wasn't present in the army previously.
Oh, nice.
8 health boxes, too, to make them more survivable.
And a slight bump in cost.
Awesome.
Which shouldn't be a surprise.
This is a really common tactic for me in like Orgoth with Windstorm and moving things up the board and being able to shoot out of my bubble and attack. And so I think that's a really great asset for this army.
We'll jump over to their other army, Secret Dominion. The Druid of Orboros, Overseer, will now grant Battle Wizard as well, and this will just help the unit make better use out of its melee attacks in concert with Divine Retribution, and just open up their playability beyond their support role currently. Then we're adding the Gorax Rager to the army. They had several living war beasts that weren't as well supported as we thought they could be, and by gaining access to Primal, we think it might open up the availability of those as stronger options.
Interesting.
Oh, the Wolfwrath finally got magical on its fists. We thought that was a bit of an oversight. I know there's a couple people really rooting for that one. So,
well, it frankly was an oversight. It should have had magic weapons, and it got missed at some point, but now it has them again, and all is well.
Well, speaking of missed, I feel like we missed the chance to have teleported into this segment instead of leaped into it. So how about we teleport on over to Convergence since it's the next alphabetically? Yes. It didn't get us there. Convergence of Cirrus. All right. Let's dive right in.
Axis, the harmonic enforcer, we're changing his Field Marshal Unstoppable to Field Marshal Unyielding, which we think will go over pretty well. And his extremely low rat of 2 will increase to 4.
That seems kind of trivial, but we wanted to give some rat bumps in a few places inside of Convergence so that their guns would have a chance to hit something someday without being boosted.
That's a very necessary change.
On a similar note, Orion being one of the most range focused, increased from rat 5 to 6.
Oh, snap. That's really good.
Now, the major changes to the army that will go over better and more broadly are the range of induction has increased from 6 inches to 9 inches.
That should help it keep up with power up, but also let you have a melee jack still being able to induct, if you position correctly.
That's awesome.
With the extra availability of focus in many of the modern armies, some of the efficiency of convergence didn't carry along as well. And opening up the range of that, we feel will give them a lot of that feel back.
Mm.
Another huge change is the Enigma Foundry. We basically reworked this model to function with Mark IV rules and fill the role it's sort of intended to, but much more efficiently with the current rule set. So we changed reconstruction to reinforcements, small or medium-based constructs. We cut Soultaker Requiem and we added Empower. And we did decrease its repair from D3+3 to D3+1 because the Galvanizer is going to be more of the repair bot. We wanted to bump it in the process.
Mm.
But with the addition to Empower, its cost at 3 and its ability to grant reinforcements to any small or medium-based unit, we feel it now has much more of a stable role and is much more applicable to many armies.
And we also dropped its damage boxes to 8. It was just too durable for its cost, we felt.
Those all seem like great balance changes. I like where we're going. You briefly mentioned the Galvanizer, so it sounds like you buffed its repair from a D3+1 to a D3+3?
Correct.
Nailed it.
Got her.
Awesome. Well, let's keep that momentum rolling and dive right into Crucible Guard.
All right. Major changes, all rocket men. That means the solos, the units, caster, etc., gained flying high. As the ones jetting around, we just wanted to give them a little better defense against ranged attacks, and that rule achieves the job. They did see a few adjustments down on a few models in the sense that the Vulcan does require a direct hit to trigger the debuff with chemtrail, and the Vindicator psychoactive gas is unfortunately only triggered on the model directly hit. It was affecting too many war beasts now that we had a lot more warlock-led armies present, and it was a little too oppressive.
Were there any other standouts in Crucible Guard? It seems like a pretty robust list.
We reworked the relationship of containment operatives and alchemists a little bit to define their roles a little better. Containment operatives were slightly overtuned and were encroaching on other units' roles, and we reined them in slightly in the process of broadening options.
I love that if you go down this list, anything that says Rocketmen gain flying high makes me happy.
Also makes sense. They're flying around.
Heck yeah.
Very mobile. Hard to hit.
Rocket Man. I'm so here for it.
I believe Crix is up next. If we're continuing this alphabetical train.
Lauren got it in 1.
If looking at Crix, we'll start with the Black Fleet because it's honestly the easiest. In total, this was the army that received the least amount of suggestions. Many playtesters, as well as the dev team, agreed that it was fairly balanced and focused on what it wanted to do. However, we made a few tweaks in that Captain Ikos is very focused on his harpoon, so we did give him a slight rat bump from 6 to 7.
Hmm.
That way, if you miss that shot, he's just not out there hanging. he's got a slightly better chance to execute the plan that the player's got in store.
And the only other change for that army is we reined in the Blighted Trollkin Marauder Burning Flames from 2-inch to 1-inch. It was easily lighting too many models on fire, and we just wanted to bring that back a little bit.
Awesome. Well, that's a very short list, but Dark Host seems a little bit longer.
Dark Host is a little bit longer, and it has a few more interesting changes. A simplistic one is Bane Riders gaining cleave. They lost a lot in transition from Mark 3 to 4, and it increases their punch a little bit. Bane Witch Agathea is one of the big ones, and a lot of it's her feet. However, it's a pretty significant change, and that is models in her battle group currently in her control range are affected by Ghostwalk. Additionally, you can place each cohort model currently in her control range anywhere completely within 3 inches of its current location, and it lasts for one turn. Now, before, it gave you sort of like a reposition teleport. Now it can be used offensively, defensively, however you want it.
Yeah, a lot more flexibility there.
Way more flexible.
With her as the major change, we did a few other nice tweaks, such as the Stalker, who had lost a little bit too much of its identity, regained Grievous Wounds. And Derek Rath got a slight POW boost on his Necroscythe going up to 14.
Wither Shadow combined to 6? What?
Yeah,
the Scarlock went down.
Yeah, the Scarlock too. Ooh, the magic begins.
Hey, it's worth saying that.
They were 9 before, weren't they? The combine? That's a pretty significant point drop.
I think they were 8.
8.
8? Okay.
So it's worth saying that when we gathered the feedback for this update, we talked to our playtesters, we debated internally, but we also got a huge amount of feedback from the community. And I mean, we started face-to-face conversations at Gen Con and other shows. And we've been listening all year and taking notes and watching Facebook, watching the forums, paying attention to everything.
And I would like to stress that just because the change you suggested didn't make it does not mean that it wasn't considered. Yeah. We had a lot of conversations that covered many things that did not make it in the final update, either because we thought a separate change might impact the play style independently, and we didn't want to stack changes and risk overtuning or, you know, changing something too much. Or we just wanted to give it a little more time. There were a lot of armies that were released throughout last year that didn't really get their day in the sun to shine and gain a lot of traction with to gain a reasonable feedback. However, this next year, now that everything's out, we expect to get a lot stronger and more concise feedback and a better picture of where things lay.
We also try to take as light a touch with this stuff as possible and look for more elegant changes wherever we could, so that we weren't necessarily changing, you know, tons and tons of models and details about the rules, but that we could be a lot more targeted and get as much bang for our buck as we could.
Yeah, we don't want to completely alter what your armies look like. We want to, you know, change it for the better and take measured steps for sure.
I realize we probably should have had this conversation at the four, but we're having it now.
It breaks things up. It's pacing.
Yeah.
Well,
now that we have a break from just the block of stuff, we can get back to the block of stuff.
Continue that pacing right into Signar as we trudge up this hill. Let's go.
So the first army, one change that we should get up front is a beloved spell, Jackhammer, has changed. In a lot of places, it was just overperforming in some sense, but due to its efficiency, it is now cost 2. However, it is range control. So you don't have to follow your jack in to get the jackhammer off or risk that arc node or set things up as well. You have a little more freedom, but it won't be dumping 7 additional attacks with your good jack that just ran up to something.
That makes a lot of sense.
Now, Darius, to complement his loss in some of his offensive ability, traded out Refuge for Electrify. And we also made his feet a little more open in how it affects things, in that You no longer have to be within 1 inch of him or his half jack. It just, and it affects the entire control range. So everything gets repaired. Unfortunately, we did restrict it to friendly faction models in the process, though.
Yeah, no Invictus getting tuned up, but all your warjacks otherwise.
Another major change was getting a glow up to the Sentinel. He gained 1 rate of fire to his chain gun, and he gained girded to give him a slight support roll on top of his already shield guard and spray.
Awesome. What about the Stormwall? I know people are going to be asking about the Colossals.
I was going to avoid just little points adjustments here or there, but do know that we did hear a lot of feedback that it wasn't matching up to the Hurricane, and we agreed, and we did drop that 1 by 1 point.
It's a big point.
Yeah. We also split Trencher Commando Scatter Gunners off into its own unit, much like the Rocketeers from Kator.
The Trencher Infantry Rifle Grenadiers also became their own unit.
Yes.
I like this. I like this a lot.
The Rifle Grenadiers, though, went through some slight changes so that they wouldn't just be a 3-man smoke cloud wall out there.
Yeah. Yeah, we wanted to avoid that. Their primary role was dropping AoEs, not smoke bombs. Another general change we should probably touch on, since it first appears here, their artillerist rule has been changed. It no longer affects everyone within 5 inches. It's now an action that will affect a single model.
Awesome. And so that's going to affect the Trencher Master Gunner here, but we'll see it play out across other artillerist models in the packet.
Definitely. Yeah. I think the biggest change is going to be to Pirates and to...
Oh, yeah.
Fifth Division,
yeah.
And even Trollkin.
You're right, yeah.
How about them Storm Knights?
Well, General Adept Nemo, with his 3 upkeeps, did gain Resourceful, so he'll have a little more access to his focus to play around with. However, the biggest change is probably the Stormblade Captain gaining Desperate Pace Stormblade. We did feel that the infantry was a little slow, and we wanted to bring them into the action a little better.
It is small base Stormblades, so don't worry, you're not gonna get the Lancers getting increased speed.
Push down your throat. Now, I know what a lot of people are thinking, the Stormsmith Storm Color. And yes, we did modify the rule. It no longer affects rate of fire. It only affects to hit and to damage.
The output was just a little too crazy with all those solos you could take.
When we conducted our playtesting of the army previously, although they performed very well for their cost, the army as a whole wasn't overperforming. So the necessity of modifying them wasn't entirely there, because we weren't seeing the army as a whole impacted by the output of a single unit. But once we were going back and trying to achieve a better balance of it, we were able to rein them in as we buffed other aspects of the army.
Coming up to our first Mark IV army, Storm Legion. Of course, we did see the change to Jackhammer, so that's here as well. But we also saw some change to some of the casters. Calder, for instance, lost Watcher, but get Crusader's Call, kind of cementing her as the premier deliverer of fast infantry. We also changed to Borrow. Her feat was just a little overtuned, so we dropped the damage buff she provided to her own army. So she's no longer providing that extra dice.
Her control range also increased to range 14, which with the loss of her damage buff will help with the defensive portion of it a lot easier. I also think that now that we mentioned Calder's Crusader's Call, we should double back to the Legionnaire Officer, because he did lose Desperate Pace. However, he did gain March, so you can still get some extra distance out of it when dealing with rough terrain, but not every caster will have access to the long threat ranges. Now, I know Debara was one of the launch casters, and we had a lot of feedback on her, especially from the community, and a lot of feedback said the feat was simply too much. However, we did like a lot of what it did. However, when we looked at her and what she represented for the army and what her focus was and her motif, she's the anvil. so we didn't really want to impact the defensive portion of the feat. However, she really didn't necessarily need to be boosting the offensive damage as much as she was.
That's more especially Wolf's territory.
Exactly.
With his literal hammer.
I agree. I think this was a tone down in the right direction. I mean, amazing caster, still amazing through and through. Came out the gate swinging.
Yeah, and we feel like each of the three main casters here have a very defined role.
Absolutely.
Dabaro is defense, Wolf is offense, and Calder is speed. I think they're all very, very interesting choices to take now.
I completely agree. Is there more in our Storm Legion that you want to talk about?
I think that's at a point cost, so we can probably move on to Dusk.
Dusk.
Now, Dusk is going to be a little spicy. We made some big changes here. A lot of it was driven by feedback, and some of it was driven by sensibility for defining roles within the army. One of the biggest changes that I'm sure will make a lot of Dusk players happy is the Eidolon is now Mat 7.
Finally happened.
Yeah, I see a lot of increase in Mat and Rat across this, and this is very juicy.
Now, as far as Dreadguard go, being the vampires that are stealing health as they attack, a lot of them just didn't have the boxes to really take advantage of that ability. Mm-hmm. So all Dreadguard across the board moved to 8 boxes. Oh. The Slayer did not increase in cost as a result of this. We thought that unit could have used a little something. The Archers did increase in cost by 1. However, we paired it with an increase to the Rat to 7, as they are elite archers, and the Rat 7 should help represent that.
Mm-hmm.
The Cavalry, we actually moved to cost 12, because they were actually already overperforming, and when we normalized the vampires as having their 8 health, it made them even better as a sort of overtuned unit, so their cost did take a double jump.
8 boxes is really good on Cav. Seems good.
I still expect to see quite a few of them on the table, so I wouldn't shed any tears for them or anything.
Durable and mobile don't always come in the same package, so it's really cool to see the two of those and how it skylines that faction.
The Ghast actually also went through pretty significant changes in that we replaced the power field head entirely with a point cost 1 reposition 2-inch head. We added aggressive to the fleet head. We changed the POW of the blaster weapon to 10, but increased its rate of fire to 2. And we added crit Shadowbind to the 4 slash and increased the power of the spear fist rune spear weapon to 11. A lot of changes overall to try and tune its performance and make a lot of the weapons differently interesting.
Yeah, we did get a lot of feedback about the Ghast role specifically. We're kind of hoping that this both fills in the roles with the beatback double shot and the fleet head getting more cost efficient to actually use with aggressive free charge. So,
and crit Shadowbind on the 4 slash is interesting.
Yeah, a good debuff option and role for it to fill.
Another nice cute change you'll see both on the Seeker Warden and the Blade Masters is Spell Ward changed to Sacred Ward. So they now can be affected by friendly spells, just not enemy.
Much better.
The Void Shaper, with a lot of its value being tied to its ranged attack, also saw a boost in its Rat to 7.
Should we jump over to Grimkin?
Sounds good.
Let's pounce.
There is one big change I'd like to start with here on Grimkin that affects a couple different armies. We've added a new command card called Grave Robbing, which is cost 0 command card that will let you put a corpse or soul token on any model. This is pretty important for models like the Death Knell, Skin and Moans, even the Tharn models we've discussed earlier. So I figured that was a good place to bring that in.
Absolutely. Especially since the Death Knell got a point reduction, so it's a little 2-for-1 there.
You just got me to check the doc, Lauren, and make sure that I actually made that change, which I did. So we're all good.
Oh yeah, I remember that discussion.
Now, Grimkin did not see a lot of changes. He got a slight point adjustment downwards for the death knell and skin and moans, which we thought could each drop by one. Then I got two other significant changes. One, the Naslayer Warhorse is not knocked down by playing dead, only the rest of the unit. So although it can still help the deliver the Naslayers, there is powerful counterplay, and if you can assassinate the Naslayer Warhorse, it'll significantly impact their ability to sneak up on you and rip you apart.
Mm-hmm.
We just didn't like that there was no counterplay to that strategy. I wanted to open things up, but...
And we looked at a lot of options and a lot of tools within the army, and we decided that we didn't want to impact the tools that would affect other units. We definitely wanted the change to be centered on them. However, we didn't want to lose some of the flavor and fun that was inherent within the unit and their unique design. And we tried lots of iterations. All of them were making them just similar to other existing units without retaining any of that special flavor and feel. And playing dead, doing anything to it specifically, would either reduce its effectiveness overall. We still wanted it to have that very fun, silly gremlin theme to it, but we needed some form of counterplay, and we think this is the most reasonable change to achieve that. The other big one is Zavanna Aga, the Fate Keeper. We cut both Vexing Alignment and Range Amplifier from her card.
Oof. Big change, but she was at the tippity-top of the tippity-top of the pyramid, so she did everything.
She did everything. She did everything well, and she had very specific tools that advantaged a lot of the stronger elements of the army, and with the very wide control range, could take strong advantage of a lot of the trump cards, and reducing some of her range of effectiveness and the range at which she could activate those, we believe will help rein her in a little bit and make her more reasonable compared to the other casters.
Another caster that's still exceptionally powerful, still has a very deep toolkit, and removing range amplifier makes the decision for whether you take a, you know, trump card or whether you take a regular plus five range command card is something that you actually have to balance in your kit now and think about. You just don't always have it on tap.
On the Infernals.
Hey, Jason said something. All right. Well, that means that we must be getting into spooky territory.
We're already there with Grimkin.
This is true. Now we're deep into it. Jason, why don't you take this one away, buddy? It's so nice to hear.
There's a couple changes I'll highlight. So by popular appeal and demand, the Dark Sentinels have gone up to 5 damage boxes each. So that was definitely a community-fueled upgrade. Aside from that, we made some changes to the Infernal Gate. Wait.
I'm sorry. Dark Sentinels. They each given 5 damage boxes. Gotcha. Yep. So they're no longer single wound models.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep. Wow. Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I had to wrap my brain around that for a second. That's a big bump.
Yeah. And one that we might have teased and then changed our minds about when we first created them as a separate unit.
Mm-hmm.
So we've gone back and add them, their damage boxes back.
Interesting.
The other big one was Infernal Gates, Soul Taker, Vortex of Souls ability. Now collect souls at a range of 15 inches so that it'll have a lot more impact on the tabletop.
Yeah. And lack of mobility made it kind of hard to use sometimes. So increasing that range gives it a lot more options and chance to use its Soul Taker.
Absolutely. We also reduced its cost to 10.
Nice. Those extra points count. And this is another faction that's going to benefit from grave robbing.
Correct.
It'll pull souls from the card. The card will grant one corpse token, one soul token, or more, one rage token. So yeah, you can use it to grab a soul here.
Absolutely. I mean, my mind immediately went to like give the vault a soul and have it boost away and collect another soul with its nice big range. And that's definitely a much smoother line of play. I love it. It's great.
Infernals was another army that overall we felt was fairly balanced. Now, some of their casters, when looking at each other, they may actually be a hair overtuned We kept hearing calls for one of their casters to get buffed, and when looking at it, they were an extremely strong caster. And the problem was probably that the other two were a little better than they should be. If it continues to be an issue, we may look at them next year, but we feel the faction's in a pretty solid place overall, so we're going to let it ride for now.
I'm going to translate that to anybody looking for a change there. Be careful what you ask for.
I don't know if we should be threatening the players.
Threat? Just saying.
It's a promise. Okay, got it.
This is like some monkey's paw stuff.
The next step isn't Agathon gets better.
What you don't know is rules change have their own meta.
Yeah, if you want Agathon to be better, what you will probably see is the other casters get worse. And that is not a threat, that is just a... That's a matter of fact. They are pretty good across the board. And we probably won't see any of those three improve as casters. However, we could see them reined in relation to each other a little more.
But that's next year's problem.
We still have all of 2024 and half of this document. So let's go on to Kador.
If it's a problem. Kador. If it's a problem. It could be fine. But agreed. Yeah, Kador.
Fifth division. As you heard, the artillerist change will impact this army fairly significantly. Winter Guard infantry, we cut dual attack, added combined arms, and made the unit point cost 4. We wanted to bring them down to be the cheap, expendable infantry that they're designed to be. Overall, other than the additions of the new caster and jack and cleaning up of rules, this army didn't see a lot of significant changes other than that and the point cost adjustment to the Rocketeers, which are now 6 points. Moving on to Armored Corps.
Simple changes. Yeah.
Since no one had anything to contribute. The Man of War Assault Chariot gained its smoke launchers that are modeled on the model and were not present essentially as an oversight. The big one that people would be pretty happy about is a Man of War Kovnik's Desperate Pace is now a battle plan. It is not an action to use. So he will be able to keep up and contribute with the rest of the army without using his entire action just to make other things faster.
Yeah, so he's not going to lag way behind.
We did rework Harkovich slightly. We cut Iron Sentinel, and we replaced Mobility with Escort. Escort will still give him an armor bonus, but it is an upkeep. And it'll give him a little more focus to play with every turn. We found he was pretty choked for focus, doing essentially the same thing turn to turn and leaving him nothing really to play with. And we wanted to open up a little more variety in how a player chose to use him.
Well said.
Black Iron also got Pathfinder, so if you're looking for other Harkovich fun stuff.
With the change to Mobility and Black Ivan being his jack, we figured giving him the Pathfinder to represent the loss there made a lot of sense.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And the community of Black Ivan fans is deep and rabid sometimes. So I'm sure they're going to be grateful.
Right. They didn't want the indirect nerf of him losing Pathfinder. So
he also lost a point, too. He's down to 14.
Oh, spicy. Go Black Ivan buffs.
Just always, every update will have Black Ivan buffs.
Every update.
Let's pace ourselves then.
Yeah, don't believe it until you see that one in writing.
That's going to be on the next, like, as soon as this goes out, 5 seconds in, Facebook's going to be like, Black Ivan gets buff every prime cast promise.
Not every prime cast.
We could simply nerf every other Jack so he's buffed in relation.
Fascinating
concept. Black Ivan.
We'll see next year, Black Ivan fans. Winter Core. Here's one easy one that should have people excited, especially with the Annihilators on their way. Puissance is now target model / unit, not just target model. That is their rack damage bonus spell, and you can now have your Pikemen or your Wrecking Crew all gain benefit.
It's interesting. We actually kind of saw a little bit of a Mandela effect where people were convinced that it was doing this already and were surprised when they to learn that it was only a single model. So now we're adding extra uncertainty and making it exactly what it used to be. It's a model unit.
A needed change. Very nice.
We made some slight adjustments to the direwolf, and the evasive heads now cost 1. The flame fist has cost 4. And the flamethrower is now range spray 6. We nerfed the flamethrower slightly simply to justify a reduce in cost to open up the build options slightly.
Yeah, particularly in like very small learner games, we wanted people to be able to have the choice of maybe trading some parts out, and it was just very tight at low point levels. We just wanted some more options there.
The mortar team went up to rat 6. It's still struggling a little bit to find its role compared to all the ranged options in the army. But we figure if it's a little more accurate as the long range and direct firing, cheap artillery support, it'll have a better role. A big change is the shock trooper gunners. We decreased the range of their spray to 8. We increased the rate of fire to 2. And we added the both barrels ability after cutting dual shot. Now with, again, so many ranged options within the army, we realized these guys were a little homogenized by comparison and they needed a more defined role, giving the ability to move again to set up their sprays, but also the ability to damage tougher targets with both barrels, we think gives them a now defined role and a stronger reason to take.
You want to jump into that rock wall change?
Certainly. While we're hitting here and we're hitting Savarin, any caster that is able to place a rock wall template, be warned that that template will now be removed if it's contact by an extra large or huge base model, similarly to a defense. With the current SR on the way and with the nature of it being used to block the landing zone of a lot of the more impressive models, it was a meta restriction to what you took in your army for the risk of not being able to play with it. And it made for unfun interactions. It wasn't merely being used for defense against ranged. It was being used to prevent your opponent from using their fun models. And in the name of the game flowing and not having that gaminess to it that is uncomfortable, we pulled back its power slightly.
Oh, a real good change, and it kind of makes sense too with defenses.
And with the greater amount of terrain on a table.
Oh, yeah.
Especially sure. With the new SR.
Yeah, the nature of the objectives and the increased terrain. Yeah, for sure.
Another change I think people will be excited about is we received a lot of feedback on the Winter Core infantry. And there were a lot of different ways to approach them, a lot of different options of what to do. We increased the speed of all models to speed 6, and we removed the encumbered rule. We didn't think it was necessary anymore. They had faced a lot of changes when we were starting Mark IV before the edition was even released and we were messing with this unit. And that ended up being sort of a relic that, with the other changes we made over time, wasn't as necessary as it had to be. We also changed their point cost to 6 for the entire unit.
Okay. What's next?
Agent of Everblight, Dragon's Host.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
The Grotesques have struggled over time to find their niche within the army, especially with all the other options available. We increased their defense to 13 and gave both units annoyance as well. And we think this will give them a more defined role and be an annoying unit to deal with while still being somewhat effective in their individual roles. Awesome. A major change, because it's to a caster, is Callus. We're removing Overrun. However, he is gaining Warpath.
Oh, now, okay.
Currently, he's able to gain extreme threat ranges.
On 1.
And somewhat problematic and unfortunately too defining to him. However, Warpath, a universally strong range increase and an upkeep as well, gives him better versatility with his own fury, while increasing the speed of a broader range of models in his army. And we think it's actually a really good change for him.
Absolutely. Being able to spread that out across the whole army is taking his playstyle from that kind of really binary, shove something really far forward to he can support a whole bunch of models, which is great.
Agreed. And other than the basic changes, we'll move right on to Ravens. Ravens, for the most part, saw a few point adjustments, but we did modify two of their casters, and that is Vale, the disciple of Everblade. She was very strong. She kind of did it all. So we cut Tether. So she can't be as oppressive with her threat range increases, but she still has a very strong kit.
Wow, that's a big change. She's had Tether for a long time. I know that it definitely makes her hard to play against in some situations.
She has a lot of things that make her hard to play against. That was just one of them. And
Tether was just compounding it. Yeah.
It's the one that we thought removing would least impact her overall feel and theme and still give her her role within the army. Now, Krissa, Conviction of Everblade, we made some general changes to what she did for her army. We made her more of a troop-focused caster, combined arms, but with battle plans. We cut defensive formation and her elite cadre. However, in the process, she gained, at all costs, precision strike and special orders battle plans, and she herself gained unyielding.
That should make her a lot more of a interesting troop commander rather than the sort of sideways role she was kind of in before.
Those are definitely some big changes, but it definitely defines her.
She had difficulty competing for a slot against the other casters in the army who offer very obvious advantages, whether it's the entire army being stealth or the army being hit and fade with strong protection and the insight attack and damage bonus. Her as the combined arms caster with a strong offensive feat, her ability to give things a little extra range with Avenging Force, and now the battle plans. We think it's a overall strong kit that will make you bring a very different army than the other casters.
Absolutely.
That's it for Legion.
Mark IV mercenaries.
One of the big changes was to how the attached spell slaves work. Now the attached models are going to become the faction that they're of the leader they're attached to.
Oh,
so
nice.
A lot of those friendly faction only spells, intuitively you would assume would work because they came from your caster, will now actually work intuitively. So like models like the Kurovnik will be able to cast Tatiana's positive charge, for example.
That's a big deal.
It is. The other change is Malgrith, the Carnal Plague. We replace Grievous Wounds with Entropic Force.
Whoa.
And now we can support a little easier.
Yeah, that's a big, big swing upwards for him.
Kind of moves him slightly out of that super solo space.
Yeah.
Presence.
Gives him like a good counterpunch too. He can sit behind something, offer the bubble, but then be that solid backbone. I really like that change. That's a good change.
That's it for the Mark IV mercenaries, which were mostly performing as intended.
Mm-hmm.
We can move into Blindwater Congregation.
Okay, would you like to take over for me now, Eric? You just run Primecast?
Oh, certainly. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Primecast. No, I'm sorry.
So I think the next segment here, Emmanuel, is Blindwater Congregation.
Something drums, I don't know.
Caliban the Gravewalker.
We added an ability called Warweaver. What this allows him to do is move 2 inches after destroying a model with a spell. As a spell slinger, it allows him to skate around and move back defensively while doing it and not completely put himself in harm's way on feet turn or when he really wants to be involved in the battle.
Awesome. And everybody loves to have a skating caster. Just wee!
Croak Raiders saw a little bit of a modification. Their point cost is now 7, and we cut a gang, and they gained Prowl. We wanted to focus on their range capabilities and give them a little more defense in the process.
Nice.
Other than slight point adjustments here and there, That's it for those guys.
Ready for some dark operations, Eric?
Why, Lauren certainly, and Jason. Emmanuel.
Let's go.
This seems like a Jason.
Oh, I agree. Eric, with another great idea. Let's go.
So I'll just jump to the particularly main highlight, which is Iron Lich Asphyxius just gained dark rituals. So this will only affect his dark operations version. It won't actually affect the Crix version, as the Crix version is allowed to take bone jacks. So you can still take a swarm of arc nodes with him. But this kind of opens up the dredges as fuel for his spell casting. We also made some point adjustments to the monstrosities. They were a bit overtuned when they came out, and we end up increasing their points across the board by one. Otherwise, there were a couple changes, quality of life changes we made to the raw mercenary units that the Cephalix Dominators control. Mm-hmm. So we went back over the volley gun and increased its POW to 13. And we particularly reworked the Ogryn Assault Corps. So we cut their, kind of re-envisioned them as more of that mobile artillery and less the mixed melee and range that they had become. So we cut combined ranged attack and combined melee attack, increased the RAT to 6, and increased the POW of the battle cannon to 14.8 and changed the cost of the unit to 10 to reflect these changes.
Right on. Ogryn Assault Corps are great models, by the way.
I realize I didn't really give anybody any time to jump in there. I just kind of rattled off that list.
That's okay.
Any thoughts anywhere?
We did receive a lot of feedback on... Hold on, my dog's coughing.
That's a weird thing to receive feedback on.
Just constantly. Eric's dog won't stop coughing.
I mean,
heard a lot of feedback. We did receive a lot of feedback on Excellent Thexis and Cognific Siphon as overperforming. However, we believe the point changes to all of the monstrosities will restrict how much is in each of their army fairly significantly. And we didn't want to go attacking them when they weren't that far ahead of the curve if they were. And a mild adjustment should be just fine.
Light touch.
Something that doesn't know anything about a light touch is the Rule Guard. And that's where we're going next.
Rule Guard had two very strong, interesting casters and Durgan. And we decided that Durgan could use a little bit of a glow up as a result. His arcane attack and mat increased to 7. We added a leadership ability to him that affects all Rulic Trooper models, which grants Hit the Deck. Anyone familiar with Hit the Deck would know that makes them immune to AoE attacks, effectively. That's very thematic for him, and also very strong against certain armies. Mm-hmm. And it will greatly increase his ability to bring infantry, despite all the AoEs flying around, and give him something that differentiates him more. Additionally, we gave him the spell Inhospitable Ground.
Nice. That's also super thematic.
I mean, there is a drawback to Hit the Deck, too. It's not just immunity. It's also your knockdown.
Mm. But there's interfaction synergy to overcome that.
Oh, yeah. And that's a solid ability one way or the other, especially with a guy who lays AoEs all over the place.
Most definitely. Are there any other major changes to Rule that you feel really stand out right up there with that?
Mostly just point adjustments and nothing. It all about a few things went down a point here and there to make them more accessible, like the high shields, command attachment, and Harlow.
The dwarf units point cost got smaller. That's
also
amazing.
We're saying Gorton Grenback was sorry. Were you done?
Yes, please.
Gorton Grenback was also affected by that rock wall change.
Mm.
Ready All for
right.
Soldiers of Fortune?
Lauren, why don't you take Soldiers of Fortune away for us?
Oh, shoot. Okay. Well, we'll start with Ashlyn, their new scout caster. There's an interesting change made to her. She replaces her veteran leader for Lely's models with Field Marshal Riptos and Defense 1. So all of her warjacks are getting plus 1 defense, just straight up all the time, and Riptos. So we can start with Ashlyn. She's the new scout warcaster, but she's also got an interesting change in that she loses veteran leader for Lely's models, but gets Field Marshal Riposte and defense plus 1. So all of her jacks are just straight up getting plus 1 defense. And then if you miss them, they attack back.
That's amazing. She's
pretty
incredible.
Pretty big change. Drake McBain, his feat is getting a little bit changed. It's going to grant plus 2 armor in addition to everything else. And he's also getting resourceful, so he can manage those upkeeps
nice.
A little bit better.
But he is affected by that jackhammer change.
Yep, mm-hmm. He is affected by that jackhammer change.
And the plus 2 armor is only on the affected models by his feet. It's not a broad plus 2 armor.
That's true. Make them a little bit more resilient. Other than that, I think it's just point changes and rules corrections, except for the volley gun went up to POW 13.
It's also worth looking at that steelhead iron head.
Oh, I mean, yes. Crane can only be used once per turn on a model now. So you can't just stack cranes all over the place.
Shenanigans. People love stacking cranes.
Dialing back threat ranges is one of the slight minor themes of this update.
Yeah, I'm starting to get that. I think I can see it across. There's probably going to be more. Now we have to point them out.
We don't want to get rid of them all. We just want to not allow them to stack repeatedly.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Like manageable, predictable threat ranges that aren't like, you know, trying to triangulate a missile to hit somebody.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
I play Sabreth, so I understand. At some point, this is probably going to talk about me. I admit I'm at fault. I'm guilty as charged. My meta will agree with you. This is needed. Let's move on to Talion Charter.
Talion Charter has a huge change to Bloody Bradigan. We added Stumbling Drunk and Righteous Vengeance to make him the premier melee fighting solo in the army.
Yep. Nice. No points increases either. He just straight gets those abilities.
He's so angry.
And drunk.
And drunk.
With a lot of the overlapping synergy in the Talion Charter, and him as a side piece to a lot of it. He benefits from it all, but he didn't buff the army itself as much as a lot of the other models did, and he often got left out of lists.
Mm-hmm.
So we sort of dialed him up very thematically within the realm of what we thought was feasible at his point value.
Should we talk about some pistol whipping?
I think we should. Many of you will be happy to know that both Mr. Walls and Zyra of the Devil Shadow Mutineers gained Pistol Whip melee attacks. They're only range 1, and they're only POW 6, but those models also gained dual attack, so they can charge with their units now.
Okay.
I might have called her Zyra, but otherwise, yeah.
Pistol Whip, that is amazing.
We got another Rahara situation going on here? Is that...
A little bit. How about them powder monkeys?
Powder monkeys went up by 1 point. I don't really think that'll surprise too many people. They are an amazingly costed support model, and they're still going to be taken. They do a lot for even 2 points. I will mention the scallywag, even though it's just a point adjustment, because it'll seem significant. The scallywag is now 9 points, and that is partially because it was originally a typo. It was never supposed to be as cheap as it was.
So I have to claim responsibility for this one. I have some terrible dyslexia, and that 9 became a 6 at some point. So we have corrected that.
I am dyslexic as heck too, so I can relate to that one. And that also takes us to the end of Talion Charter. So Thornfall Alliance is next.
For Thornfall, we have a few targeted changes. The Efreet Scouts gained Shooting Gallery. They did seem a little underwhelming for their point cost, and we decided we wanted something that define their play style a little bit, and we think them racing up and getting a little extra punch for committing is fun and gives them a more interesting role.
Put that mobility to use so they're not just standing still aiming.
It also gives them kind of two motive attacks, right? You can either sit back or you can zip in for that kill.
Yeah.
Very nice.
A big switcheroo redefining of models is the Bone Grinders and Targ. The Bone Grinders added condition and heal, and they cut craft talisman and went to cost 4. They are now a straight up support unit and army wide, not just for the caster essentially. And Targ gained arcane attack 6, magic ability, and ancillary attack became magic ability special rule. Gain craft talisman and spell slave. And then we cut medicate and shepherd's call.
Interesting.
Yeah, he's an attachment, so it made more sense that he'd be the one assisting casting spells than...
And crafting talismans, yeah. Super cool. And, like, the combination, do you need more spells or do you need longer spells? I like that. It's a clever little fold-in. I like it.
We received a lot of feedback on Midas. A lot of it pushing him towards being the true troop caster, which we originally thought about committing to, but with the addition of Helga covering some of the troopcaster role, we settled in on him being combined arms, and we replaced Death March with Avenging Force, which is sort of like a premier combined arms spell, and we added the Blood Trade rule. And then Victor Pendrake, we decided to give him a little more active role. We cut condition, since that's now the role of Bone Grinders. Mm-hmm. And he gained battle plans of Beast Lore, March, and Sneak.
Ooh.
And as the Trailblazer Pathfinder that's educating the other units, he can grant these abilities, which we thought was both thematic and needed to give a little more variety in the play style and options available to the units.
Yeah, those are really cool changes. And it definitely changes up his role in the army. So next up is... Well, I don't want to take this one. I'm a little too excited. Jason!
I'll answer that call. All right. Orgoth Sea Raiders. So, I'm going to jump ahead to Sabreth for you.
Yes.
So, the Eternal Annihilation is one of those models with a spell that we went back and readdressed. So, we looked at Perdition. And Perdition is now, it's no longer make a full advance toward, it's now advance 5 inches directly, up to 5 inches directly toward the enemy model. So we kind of reined in her positioning capabilities of, with that spell, as well as every other caster that has it.
So like the Sea Raider rack, or not the Sea Raider, the Troll rack.
Yeah, it's the Brine Bloods rack.
Mm-hmm.
It still offers a pretty far movement with 5 inches compared to other similar spells. Absolutely. However, it requires you to do more in order to set up that movement.
And
so the 5 inches directly toward seems to balance out with the other options available to other casters.
Yeah, she's still an incredible caster, and Perdition is still a really good spell. Like, it's not as overbearing as it was, but I understand why you started there, Jason.
Yep, might as well start with the head. So we made some quality of life changes. So the Siege Trask went up to Speed 6, Rat 6.
Oh, yes!
So it was felt that it was slightly underperforming for its cost, so we gave a little more oomph.
Harpoon Gun, yes, I love you, Rat 6.
The Reaver Skirmishers were kind of lacking their place, and so... We went in and added Prowl to their kit, and their Blaze Core weapons picked up Blessed.
Mm, nice.
So they're a little more self-sufficient that way.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, the last big change that we made is that Kishtar, the Howling Silence, now has 2 ranged and 2 melee attacks. She no longer has Reload. We also gave her Pathfinder and Prowl and increased her control to 12.
Yes!
The big one here is her feat now adds 1 dice and drops the lowest. but also grants reposition to her battle group. So
amazing.
It's no longer the huge amount of dice fixing that she had before, but we want to embrace that hunter playstyle of her background that was missing early on. Mm-hmm. She kind of got developed as a character, almost through largely through Aaron Riddell's writing on her. And it had us reconsider a few things, and we just had some ideas for some cool changes, cool life improvements we can make for her, while at the same time making her feat less of a zero-sum game.
It's really good. I mean, even with the losing the die, which it's, don't get me wrong, rolling lots of dice is really fun, and getting all the hits and crits and everything is super cool, but the consistency of a 12-inch control area cannot be overlooked, and Pathfinder and Prowl lets her get around where she needs to, and Repo 3 is such gravy. It lets you like be able to commit and then get to places and still be relevant, so I'm just really high on these changes. This makes her just... I might play her tonight. I might play her tonight. I'm probably going to play her tonight.
She previously was so all in on the assassination game plan, where mm-hmm. she had to commit herself so close and really pour everything into this huge wall of dice. And we wanted to like level that out a bit and make her herself more interesting turn to turn in the process.
Yeah, nailed it. Nailed it.
We made a handful of changes to the Tyrant that I won't really go into. They're just slight tweaks to weapon outloads in order to make sure everything had its place and nothing was completely being overshadowed. We also increased the speed of the Alcor Barragers to 6 and reduced their point cost to 9. They just kind of weren't performing to the same level as the heavy infantry gunners in the other factions' mm-hmm. armies. So we just gave them a slight tweak.
Interesting. And able to squeeze more in with that extra point.
Yeah. Fingers crossed.
Well, if we've come up to the wall, it's definitely the Protectorate of Minoth.
We can start with Final Interdiction. Straight up, a change to both these armies that will greatly impact playstyle is the Choir of Minoth. We increase the range of their hymns to 5 inches.
Nice.
Keeps them a little safer from AoEs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It Let's enables them to not have to be... They don't have to be so close to the danger in order to buff the jacks, and they don't have to be so vulnerable to AoEs in the process.
It also lets you get them like in a reposition where you're like, all right, well, they were over here buffing this jack, but now I'm over here. Being able to just walk and then also have a 5-inch reach off of that to hit the jack, or like have to walk in and around models but still reach something farther away, it's super clutch. That's a really good change. Not that they're not a really good change, but you know.
They also got several point adjustments here and there. The only other like more interesting change is still slight, and that Servath Resnick gained 1 arm. He's now armor 19. We realized he lost some survivability in the change, mm-hmm. and we just wanted to make it a little tougher to compensate.
19 is a stat on a Warcaster. That is not to be ignored.
Temple Guardians, since they're gaining Allegiant Aminad Raza, we gave them the Allegiant Order of the Fists. We think they actually fill an interesting role in the army and are great little solos that I think people will use.
Nice.
We've got some people who are itching to use their mini crates too, so I'm sure this will make them happy.
Super cool.
Another major change is Pyrrhus, the Flame Guard hero. We cut leadership Temple Flame Guard, and we gave him battle plans: fight to the last, precision strike, and stir the blood.
Oh, man.
As a troop leader, we wanted to get a little more of that role in there, and we think these suit him and what he wants to get out of things pretty well.
I love battle plans.
Me too.
So that takes us into the retribution of Syra, and we haven't heard from Lauren in a little while. So Lauren, sure. I'm going to throw the ball to you.
So we're going to start with the Dawnguard Destor Thane. He gains tough. but also gets leadership for the other Desters, which also grants them tough, making them a bit more enduring as they hit the field.
He kind of lost his role as we made the changes to all the models with shields. Instead of granting an ability, they just picked it up. So he's just kind of left hanging for the last few months.
So we also have the Hydra has increased the power force fist to 16, as well as a general change to smash and grab to clarify that it can charge and use smash and grab. Hyperion Helios both saw cost changes, and they actually lost a couple of damage boxes. They've been overperforming, and we wanted to kind of bring them back in to where the other Colossals had been performing. That's it for...
You might want to hit a Scion.
Oh, I thought we covered him in the last one. Yeah, Scion is getting added as a Scout Warcaster. He is going to replace Fortune with Foresight. That's a new spell that is cost 3, range self, control area, upkeep. Model in his battle group can reroll missed attack rolls once per attack.
We needed to focus him a little bit more on his battle group as a Scout Warcaster, so that change just cements that for us.
We should move on to Shadows of Retribution.
Jinx. Now that means you have to do another segment.
Just
back to back.
All right. Well, I can do that. So we changed the swordsman from House Elwir to remove gang, but they did get a point of POW in exchange to their greatswords. So their greatswords are POW 13 now. Gang was just slightly too strong on this unit, making them way too accurate and hitting a little too hard. This kind of brings them back down. We added Kaylissa, the Night Whisper, as a new Scout Warcaster. She replaces Surefoot with Sidekick, but she also gets Resourceful, so all these upkeep spells can be upkept free.
Spears of Syra, anyone?
Oh, Spears of Syra. Do you want to hit this one, Jason, or should I?
I will hit it. It's my baby. So... Spheres of Syra in Mark IV were a little bit too complex and a little bit overtoned, which is unfortunate because I love them. So we decided to both simplify and pull them back into alignment. So they lost Inhuman Resolve and Shield Wall and picked up Unbreakable Wall.
Unbreakable Wall is everyone in the unit gets additional armor for everyone that they're in base-to-base with in that unit, if you're not familiar.
Wow.
So still high armor, but they're not going to continually come back to the dead from the dead to infinitely contest your zones. Last, we have some changes to Thyron. Blade of Vengeance now grants Thyron and friendly faction models beginning in their activation in his control range plus 2 speed. Additionally, in Thyron's control range, friendly models get duelist. Thyron's feat was very oppressive. We knew this. We got feedback from the community stating this again and again. So we try to keep a strong identity to it while also bringing it back down where it wasn't just slaughtering everything.
One of the main changes is things only gain the benefit of duelist while within it. Before, it was a very fire and forget feat, but it was also giving them other bonuses that were probably just too much. So they no longer get riposte, they no longer get plus 2 mat, and it's a much more normalized feat that still gives them the threat extension. It still gives them survivability while getting in melee, but it doesn't do everything and from a super safe distance.
Yep, I've played against it. It's we have a local player, and this is some welcome changes. the Thyron players, maybe not as much, but there's also just so much good here that, like, the balance needs to be shifted in some areas, and it's good that you're paying attention to the community's feedback, too, because, like Jason said, it came directly from them.
Yeah.
So, I believe Scorn is next. The Army of the Western Reach is one of my absolute favorite-looking armies.
We got a lot of feedback that Titans were overcosted when looking at all of their abilities. We didn't really feel they were overcosted for what they brought to the table. They actually seemed very much in line, but we still wanted to give them a little more identity. So other than the bronze back, we gave them all 2 extra damage boxes.
Mm. That's hardy.
Sorry, the bronze back already had the 2 boxes.
And you did something similar with the cataphract, right? You upped their boxes too.
We did. We got a lot of feedback that they didn't feel like heavy infantry as much. And they weren't necessarily poorly costed. They just weren't filling the role people wanted. Mm-hmm. So we did give them all 3 units 3 extra damage boxes. However, we did increase all of them by 1 point. And Primus Gulam did get reload 1. So he'll have a little more ranged game to utilize his prey and utilize his fury to be more involved with the battle.
Awesome. I think we can roll right into the Exalted after that.
The Exalted, other than the changes I already mentioned, did not get much. We really looked at the Supreme Guardian. We really looked at the location of a lot of buffs. And we settled on it's without rebuilding the entire system, simply increasing the Supreme Guardian's cost by 1 would better reflect its role. However, to do anything else to it would be to harm the entire army that sort of built around it in many respects at this point.
That's fair.
We looked at some pretty drastic changes to that model. Fortunately, we had a chance to test them beforehand. I think we're all happier where it came back to, where it's just the point increase.
That 1 point we've seen come up in this document time and time again, it really does matter for armies. It can be taking away an option, adding an option. And in this case, with the Supreme Guardian, it is an incredibly powerful model and the centerpiece model. So, you know, too heavy-handed one way or the other, and you could overpower, underpower that entire theme. But a single point. That, like Jason said at the beginning of the episode, it's going to be the nuanced changes, the subtlety that really shine through.
Yeah. And I think it also kind of highlights something that a lot of these point changes you'll see when the full list of changes is made. A lot of times, you know, it was a lot of thinking on how we could change a model. And we come down to, you know what? A point change is small, but a lot of times goes a lot further than you think. Those weren't done lightly.
To piggyback off of what Lauren mentioned about the Supreme Guardian, we did test other alternatives in there, and that's true for many of these models, where we looked at a lot of options, and even if it looks like we ended on something very simplistic, that's because that was the light touch endpoint after a lot of discussion on things that had chain reactions, unintended consequences, or we're changing the role of something within the army or changing army identity. Whereas we like the identities where they're at for the most part. We like how the armies are structured and we like what they do by design. And we want to maintain that as much as possible while still bringing everything into parity. So we did take light touches, but it wasn't without a lot of consideration on a lot of these models. Even if it's something that looks as simplistic as a plus or minus 1 point cost, that wasn't the conversation. That was the culmination of a lot of discussion.
Well, speaking of not getting a lot of changes here, the Southern Creoles, I only see, like, what, 3 changes?
Yeah.
They're new.
They had a really tight playtest, but also they haven't seen a lot of play in the wild yet. So you'll see a little fewer changes here, but there are a couple noticeable ones we should bring up. Just a reminder that Perdition did change, and that was one of their rack spells. Actually might make it better for Brineblood specifically, but brought it in line with all the other threat extenders. One of the bigger changes was probably the Marauder Crew Quartermaster. It lost dual shot, or granted dual shot, and granted grenades, but it got new once per game ability in powder stores. Yeah, powder stores. That is +2 to hit and damage for the unit once per turn. So this is one of the few
ranged attack.
range attacks specifically, thank you, Eric. One of the few attachments that have too many feats that it can use. It also, we changed the pig dirge. We found that with propelled 8, it was having a really hard time keeping up with the rest of the army to use it as we intended. So we pushed it up to propelled 10. Slower than the brig, but still able to keep up a little easier now.
Well, speaking of trolls, we got Trollbloods right up next, so we can dive right into the Storm of the North.
We don't really see a lot of huge changes here, other than the addition of Grimm and cleaning up of rules language. We made the Ice Troll get +1 rat and the Winter Troll +1 mat to better define their roles and how they attack and give a better value for their point cost. But other than that, we didn't really touch the army that much. It's kind of where we want it to be.
It wasn't for a lack of feedback, but everything just seemed to kind of be in line with where it needed to be. So.
And we looked at their casters, I assure you. We got a lot of feedback on the existing casters, and we went around in circles comparing a lot of options, a lot of play styles, and a lot of what we would switch out, and we ended up with not at this time. They all bring a slew of options to the table. They all do slightly different things. They all create different armies. And even if some people find some more valuable than others, all of them are seeing play, and different play styles are favoring different ones. And we ended up not touching them at this time.
Okay. Then the United Creels is next.
Dozer and Smeg is a big one.
Changes.
Dozer and Smeg went down to Rat 5. He has a very good gun, and between several abilities was making 3 attacks per turn between Ancillary and his bond with the caster. So he was annihilating 3 units a turn sometimes, and it was a little too much. So we toned down the out-of-turn accuracy, or outside of his normal activation accuracy. And his point cost is now 14. He's still a very strong model with a very good gun, but he needed to be toned slightly. Gristle Absolutely. Did get some major improvements. She now can use her battle plans 3 times this activation without restriction. And additionally, her battle plan, our Desperate Pace, Money Shot, and Tenacity become range 12 during that activation. This means she can support from a distance, putting those buffs wherever she needs to. And depending on how you chose to build your army, you can have 3 different units getting Desperate Pace, or 3 different range units getting Money Shot, or spread around the Tenacity. It opens up the options considerably from where we had last left off.
All 3 of those are absolutely great orders. Like, Desperate Pace is one you'll find in like so many armies, and it's a staple. And Money Shot and Tenacity aren't to be overlooked either.
No, not at all. Other than that, the Fen Blades, we didn't remove Gang, but we did drop their mat by 1 because they were just a little too accurate. Especially with other buffs available within the army. I'll let you jump in on him.
So we always kind of envisioned him as a gun mage, but he never, you know, quite lived up to his rep. So when we added him to Southern Krills, we took this opportunity to A, make him a scout caster, and B, replace Magic Bullet with Vanish so that we could add attack types to his rune pistols. So he picked up Black Penny, Heartseeker, and Ricochet.
Wow.
So he's going to be much more impactful on the tabletop now.
Absolutely. And definitely sells the Gun Mage.
Yeah.
Definitely.
That's awesome. I like the fluffy additions. Those make me so happy.
Other than that, there's a point cost change or so, and the commented previously upon artillerist change on the Trollkin Gunnery Sergeant. I think that pretty well wraps up the armies.
Should we do the new command card changes as kind of like a finishing touch, or should we leave that as a surprise for the 10th?
Oh, Lauren, you tease. You want to leave it the command cards out? I haven't even thought of that. How devilish.
Well, I'll leave it up to Jason. He's the boss here.
Yeah, let's spoil him. Go for it.
All right, all right. I've already mentioned the grave robbing command card. We also have the put out the fires command card changed to also remove a shakeable effect. So things like stationary, blind, shadow bind, you can get one of those to expire now. Thought processes here. One of the thing interactions we were seeing was that you could disrupt a jack and knock it down, and there were a lot of instances that could happen. Well, now you could clear one of those things, so you could stand up, and just make the card better and more interesting in general to take.
It clears everything.
Yeah.
It's not choose one.
It's not choose one? Oh, clues and everything? See, yeah. I'm even surprised by some of these changes. It clears everything.
That's on me. It wasn't what we talked about, but when I'm examining it, I'm like,
It's a whole command card. Get rid of everything. Yeah, I like it.
That's really good.
The take cover command card changed. They get resistance blast as well for one round. It makes sense that you're kind of taking cover so that the blast damage isn't going to be quite as effective against you. Last but not least, though, is the high alert command card.
High alert!
You can play this command card anytime during the activation of one of your models to give that model shield guard for one round.
Woo! Dang!
Any model take a hit and make sure every faction has equal access to a shield guard, if only temporary.
Amazing.
To keep their important pieces alive.
And being able to like force attacks on things that have triggers that get to move or whatever when they get hit. That's so good.
There's a lot of depth love there. I like that you're already picking up on that, Emmanuel. Yeah, there's a lot of cool things you can do with this card.
Oh man, be still my War Machine heart. I'm so happy. That's awesome. I love Shield Guard.
In addition to the command card changes, there's also changes throughout the core rules that we'll have a list of coming up with an insider explaining the January update next week on Wednesday, January 10th.
Can I share one just to kind of prime people for it? Cut this bit if not. We are changing how the cohort requirements for army construction.
Oh.
Couple things here in general. I'm going to hit the light one. We are changing how list construction works in that now you can be 4 points under in list building legally. That allows for some flexibility in list building. We want to encourage players to have the agency in the choices they want to make. And we heard this one was called out. But more importantly is that now, no matter what size game you're playing, you only have one cohort requirement.
What?
Per battle group.
Per battle group. So like your juniors will still need to have a jack or a beast. Right, but like your warcaster only has, or warlock or leader model in general, only has to have one in their battle group.
That is huge. I love it, and it makes huge bases easier to play. So, and lessers more like having their own space. What a great change!
Like I said, we just really wanted to encourage player agency in the choices they make to make the kind of lists they want to see. Yeah.
That's awesome. I'm hyped. 2024 is going to be a good year for War Machine.
Yeah.
And I will add that although there are a lot of core rule changes, most of them are clarifications. You will not see the system of rules change really drastically. They will function a lot as you have been playing the past year. A lot of it's really just cleaning up language to make it more apparent what our intent was.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. And this has been taking us to church for what? And how many hours now? Like,
we're a solid 2 hours into recording.
Amazing. So, with that, I don't see any reason to drag it out any longer. Do you have anything you want to say in parting? Anything coming out in the near future you want people to look at?
I will say that anyone who feels disheartened that something they thought was necessary or essential to go through in this rules change, the game's going to keep going on and we're going to keep trying fine-tuning it. Don't be shy about feedback. If something is egregious, we will change it before the end of the year, but otherwise next year, we're going to try and reevaluate everything again. Only this time we'll be a lot more forewarned and forearmed. We'll have this update to build off of, and we'll also have all the armies out for an entire year with people to have a much better headspace for how they function against each other within the new system.
We really are always listening to you guys, and we only make one big January change a year, but we always have our ears open and are always watching, guys. So don't feel like you're not being heard.
And what is the best way to get heard? What is the most proper channel to send you feedback?
Community Hub or in the app itself.
Yeah. Or feedback at Privateer Press.
And feedback at privateerpress.com.
You mean it's not to try to like phone call Eric in the middle of the night when you have an idea about War Machine that just can't wait until the morning?
Or
that's
adding
only
me
a manual. That's only a manual.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you voluntarily just add your phone number to Facebook.
Please, God, no.
Oh, God.
Okay, well, I think we should give it a nice rah-hurrah to end this episode. What do you folks say?
Rah-hurrah drums.
Rah.
Oh, boy.
Rah-hurrah 2024. Here we go.